I'd rather talk to Mike Florio. Pro Football Talk, of course, Mike Florio.
I missed Mike.
He's a friend of the Morning Roast.
I know.
He started off on Rocky Roads. You know, he came back on the show, and we're best friends again. Mike, good morning.
What
Welcome
up,
out
Mike?
To the Roast. Joe Shad's going to butcher Bonte Hill. And I'm just ask you right off the bat. Right off the bat. How would you assess the way the 49ers handled the quarterback situation dating back to the offseason?
Well, I mean, it's been a roller coaster. It's been unconventional. It's been bizarre. And ultimately, this was something that we said many times on PFT Live during training camp while the 49ers were waiting out the possibility of a starting quarterback being injured elsewhere and opening the door for a trade. There's a chance that There's a chance that the injury is going to happen in their own backyard to their own starting quarterback. And it ultimately did. Now, it happened after they abandoned the idea of trying to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. They kept him on a reduced contract for which he will make more and more money as he now plays. But sometimes things just have a way of working out. And maybe they needed to go through that process of trying to trade him to realize there wasn't going to be a real trade opportunity out there. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo needed to understand that no one was going to beat down the door to try to sign him as the starter, and the best move for everyone was to be patient. And now he gets a chance to play. The 49ers, unless they sign him to a new contract before next March, can't keep him from becoming a free agent. This is a win-win for the team and for him, because without him around, it would have been Nate Sudfeld most likely still on the roster, the guy who steps in for Trey Lance. So they've got a chance to salvage the season. He's got a chance to reignite another stage of his career, and it worked out well. And they didn't deliberately plan it this way, but they had to at least be thinking it somewhere in the back of their minds that this could happen. And it did, and now they're in much better shape than they would have been.
Mike, let me ask you this, because you brought up Nate Sudfeld, and I wonder if Shanahan would have used Trey Lance the way he used him in the first two games of the season. Going back last year in Arizona, he ran the ball 16 times. Not all of them's not quarterback design runs, but 16 rushes for the quarterback. Then we saw what happened in Chicago, and it wasn't a monsoon until the fourth quarter. I was at that game at Soldier Field. The rain was relatively light during the first three quarters, and yet we've seen Roquan Smith take shot after shot on him, and then, of course, against Seattle. Do you like the way Shanahan handled Trey Lance and utilized him in those four games that he's played before he broke his ankle?
Well, look, we saw him get injured last year. In the two games he started, he got injured in the preseason. The durability questions have been there, and that's the ultimate irony of the entire experiment with Trey Lance. They fell out of love with Jimmy Garoppolo fundamentally because you can't stay healthy. They can't trust him to stay healthy, and it turns your season upside down when your quarterback's gone for the entire year like he was in 2018 or 2020 when he suffers a week two ankle injury and he's gone for an extended stretch, and by the time he's able to go again, it's too late for it to make a difference. And now you get a guy who has a separate durability issue. Now, what can you do to protect and avoid a broken ankle? Those things can happen. It's unfortunate for the team. It's very unfortunate for the player. But this all gets back to the question of whether or not they made the right move when they decided to invest the resources in getting the third overall pick. They ultimately invested three first-round picks and a third-round pick in the player, Trey Lance. They could have drafted Justin Fields. They could have drafted Mac Jones. They didn't have to go up to number three. They did. And it's going to continue to resonate into next year and beyond. So I think you don't draft Trey Lance without planning to use him in a way that suits his talents. I just think the question they needed to ask themselves before they ever put his name on the card, is this a guy that we want to have, knowing that we're going to use him in a way that subjects him to potential injury?
So seeing how the players responded on the field, in the post-game locker room, seeing how the Vegas odds move and how the national narrative is completely shifted. The Niners are better with Jimmy Garoppolo. Did they just botch this whole move up to get a quarterback thing and think that they could just stick a kid in there to replace Jimmy Garoppolo and try to quote-unquote win on the fly?
Usually what happens when a team makes an all-in move for a franchise quarterback, they're already bad. They're trying to get better. They aren't established. They aren't on the brink of winning a Super Bowl. That's why I think the 49ers made their mistake by getting desperate and I believe firmly, they watched Super Bowl 55, Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes, and they knew that they failed to evaluate Mahomes in 2017 because, as Kyle Shanahan has admitted, he thought he was going to get Kirk Cousins in free agency the next year. Didn't even do the workup on Mahomes. And his good friend Chris Sims, who works with me now at NBC and on TFT Live, was telling him you need to take a look at Mahomes, and he didn't. Okay, that was mistake number one. Mistake number two, Tom Brady wants to come home, finish his career with the 49ers. They said, no, thank you. We're sticking with Jimmy G. They see both of those guys squaring off in the Super Bowl, and then within a month or so after that, what do? They give up everything that they have to give up to move up to number three, knowing that they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson, content to have their pick of any of the next cut of quarterbacks. Yeah, I think that they overreacted. I think they got desperate. I think they just decided, screw it, we're going to go get somebody that's going to be better than Jimmy Garoppolo. And it puts so much pressure on Trey Lance.
So much.
He's the only one in all of this I feel sorry for, because he didn't ask for it. He got drafted into it. It's a horrible situation for a guy to try to start his career in. And now the pressure on him next year is only going to be worse, because next year is the payoff year. It's now or never. And he's trying to recover from a broken ankle. It's going to be horrible for him next year.
Mike, I find this a very fascinating conversation for a variety of reasons. But going back to when they hired Lynch and Shanahan, part of it was this leaks, and all the negative stuff that was coming out of Santa Clara and just the 49er front office, right? That's what was happening, and it was quiet for a long time. Now people are saying, hey, it's because they're a box office team. Everyone wants to talk about them, but it feels like it's drip after drip after drip, whether it's the Mac Jones thing, whether it's Jimmy and
Matthew Stafford.
I mean, there's so many different angles to this and all of the drama coming out. What do you make of all of the leaks and the drippage and the players celebrating and saying we're better? And what do you make of all this?
Well, the bottom line is it's a team that's very fascinating because it has a set of dynamics that other teams just don't. A team that had a Super Bowl one, 10-point lead with 7 minutes left. Not that I need to remind
you. Thanks.
We bring it up every day, Mike, we bring it up every day because we're now looking at Kyle Shanahan. But continue. We'll get to Shanahan in just a second.
But the point is it sets the context.
Yes,
It's a team that has attracted attention.
Yes.
It's a team that is in this weird gap of, are they good? Are they not good? Are they, you know, they're good because of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, but they're not great because of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. It reminds me of the saying that Richard Dent had about the Bears of the 1980s. They won a Super Bowl because of Mike Ditka, and they won a Super Bowl and only one Super Bowl because of Mike Ditka. There's just something missing there. And the question is, and look, I'm not saying that Shanahan and Lynch should be on the hot seat, but the question is, are they capable of getting the team over the hump? And they're trying, I think, too hard to get the team over the hump. But it just makes for a fascinating team that is conducive to people wanting to know what's going on behind that curtain.
Wow, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, NBC, very well said. Yeah. On the Morning Rush right now, 95.7 The Game. Now, you've reported a lot of things about the 49ers. Some of the stuff we agree with, some of it we don't, but I think the whole quarterback situation since he's gotten here, Shasky knows, I've been yelling from 2017, how do you not take Mahomes or Watson in that draft, number three overall? You take Watson, and then you realize, oh, snap, we need a quarterback because it's not going to be available. Let's trade for Jimmy. And let's be honest, Jimmy was a gift to them from Bill Belichick. Now that Jimmy is back under center, should we recalibrate our expectations? Should it now be, hey, this team has a Super Bowl roster, Trey Lance is holding it back, they should be able to go contend for a Super Bowl again? Should that be the expectation again now that Jimmy Garoppolo's under center?
I don't know that it should be the expectation, but it's not unreasonable to hope for that outcome because, yes, it is a Super Bowl-ready team, and that was the big risk that the team was taking by turning the reins over to Trey Lance, because here's a guy who's learning on the fly, trying to get to his ceiling. We don't know what his ceiling is. They don't know what his ceiling is. That's true of any quarterback who is drafted in round one. For every guy that turns out to be great, there's a bust. Look at 2018. You had Baker Mayfield. Where's he right now?
Yeah.
Donald, where's he right now? You've got Josh Allen, who's the best of all of them. You've got Lamar Jackson, who looked like he was going to be the best of all of them. You got Josh Rosen, who's languishing on the Browns practice squad right now. So, you know, it's going to work for some guys, and it's not going to work for others. But I think the bigger question that teams need to ask themselves, are we putting these young kids in a position where they can naturally thrive? And I think the deck's been stacked against Trey Lance from day one. He comes through the door. with a guy who took the team to a Super Bowl. He sits on the bench while that guy almost takes him to another Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden, he's given the keys. But, oh, by the way, you're going to have a backseat driver. The guy that we got rid of, we're still keeping him around. And now next year, I doubt that Jimmy Garoppolo is still going to be on the team next year, but who the hell knows at this point? But next year is got to be the year. And, you know, you can look at it and say, hey, all right, fine, it's a ton of pressure on Trey Lance, but if he can't handle this, he can never handle the pressure of conference championship game or Super Bowl. But still, you know, some quarterbacks, plenty of quarterbacks get a chance to develop without that weight of the world on them. And it's just not fair to Trey Lance. I feel bad for him. I almost feel like whether he needs a fresh start somewhere else to ever become the best quarterback he can be, given all the weird stuff that's gone on in 2 years.
Isn't it interesting that we, myself included, Mike, I'm at the front of this saying, hey, he's in the best situation to succeed. He's got a great playmakers and a great defense and a good offensive coach, and they run the ball really well. And it almost feels like all of the success and everything around him and the expectations actually worked against him and sped the process of criticism up. And it seems almost ridiculously unfair now, or am I just playing the results card?
No, I mean, you're right. You look at it and say, hey, he's in the best position to succeed. The other side of that coin is, oh, you're in the best position to succeed.
Exactly.
It's on you. I remember last year we were led to believe that there was going to be a Trey Lance package in every game.
And right.
Then all of a sudden, Kyle Shanahan abandoned it. And he was trying to be kind of cute and coy. Well, I never really said I was going to do it in the regular season. Well, why'd you create? I mean, how does that help? Right? It was just a weird move where I think he knew that Trey Lance just wasn't ready, and he didn't want to entrust the offense to him even on a part-time basis, and he didn't want to undermine Jimmy Garoppolo, and he made the decision at some point, we're just going all in with Jimmy G. And who knows what would have happened if Trey Lance hadn't gotten injured. At some point, does he just go all in with Jimmy G anyway? Who knows? I wasn't believing this notion that Jimmy was only ever going to be the backup. I think there was going to be a point where Jimmy would have been brought in if Trey Lance wasn't getting it done. But, you know, this just does not bode well for the future. The 49ers have a team that can be very good this year, that can contend for a Super Bowl, that could win a Super Bowl. But come next year, I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't think they know what they're going to do, because they're not going to think about it. Until the season's over, or at least until much later into the current campaign.
It feels very confusing for most Niner fans, where it's like the team has had some unbelievable success, but then it feels like the whole reason why they brought this guy in was to fix the quarterback spot, and yet we have more questions about the quarterback spot than ever before. Should he have an opportunity, let's just say hypothetically, to find another guy? Do you trust Kyle Shanahan
to
get this right at quarterback?
6 years, Mike.
Well, and here's the challenge. He has always wanted, and I think back to 2011 after the lockout ended, and he was the offensive coordinator in Washington working with his dad. Rex Grossman was one of the candidates to be the starter, and Rex Grossman explained to reporters at the time that he was confident he would win the job because he knows what Kyle Shanahan wants. He wants someone who is going to run the offense exactly the way he has designed it. Drop back the way that Kyle Shanahan has drawn it up, go through the reads the way that he wants. If you run it exactly the way that Shanahan wants it, you are regarded as the best choice for the job. Because basically he's on the sideline with a joystick controlling the quarterback, and the guy who does what he wants wins. And that has caused him, I think, to shy away from this new
age quarterback
who, when the play that's called doesn't work, can go out there and make something happen on his own, on the fly. Whether it's Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, even Aaron Rodgers, he's been doing that for years. Kyler Murray and his 20.8-second improvisation for a two-point conversion. I don't think Shanahan wants guys like that. I don't think he wants anyone who's going to have the physical skills to thus have the temptation to say, I'm bailing on the play that Kyle Shanahan called, and I'm going to do my own thing. Mm. And that's where he needs to look in the mirror and really ask himself, has the game evolved beyond my preferred vision of how a quarterback's going to run an offense?
Very interesting. Mike Florio here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. Real quick, do you think the Niners ran on Watson before all the allegations in Houston? Because it feels like they were in on a couple of those guys before they moved all those pieces to go get Trey Lance number 3 overall.
I think that they were doing their due diligence. I never heard specifically that they were a suitor for Deshaun Watson. Remember, Watson had that no-trade clause, and he was able to handpick his team, and I think he was focused on Miami. So I just don't think it ever got to that point. But what's the timeline? The stuff started to come out about Watson, and then it was a week or two after that that they did the trade up to the third overall pick in the draft. So, you know, who knows? If the stuff doesn't come out about Watson, do they eventually try to get in the hunt for him? Look at it this way. Again, three first-round picks and a third-round pick to get Trey Lance. Not two first-round picks, three. Because every time you use a first-round pick, you are trading a first-round pick for the player. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's three and a third. You could have gotten Deshaun Watson for that.
Wow.
And you know, my typical approach is if I have proven commodity versus unproven commodity for that kind of draft capital, I'll go with the proven commodity.
Yeah.
Now the off-field stuff obviously throws a wrench into it, but they should have been because Deshaun Watson is basically what they see in Trey Lance, potentially.
Yeah.
So, I'd be surprised if they weren't at least thinking about it, but they wisely backed off after the off-field stuff.
Right. So, before we let you go, and we do appreciate the time today, Mike, you always give us time. We do. We are thankful for that. I want to follow up on what's going to happen in the offseason. It's going to be year seven of Shanahan. How many, and I'm with you. I don't think Shanahan should be on any hot seat, but I'm watching every single week this year saying, how's it going to look? Because it feels like he has to win more so than ever now, at least this year, and get to the divisional round with Jimmy Garoppolo with this roster. It's going to be year seven of Shanahan, and we still don't know who the quarterback is. I mean, how many coaches or GMs get that much leeway where they got to figure out the quarterback position every single year where you're not married to Garoppolo or whatnot? It's just totally bizarre to me, and it feels like Shanahan's not going anywhere anytime soon.
I think the move before Shanahan would ever be on the hot seat would be to find a new general manager, that Lynch would take the fall, because Lynch is the guy who's working for Shanahan. It's easy to forget the circumstances that led to the hiring of John Lynch. Lynch got that job for one very important reason. Because Shanahan has final say over everything, they couldn't hire someone from someone else's front office. Their options were limited in what they could actually do. So they have to go outside the industry, somebody who's currently available. Lynch was available because he was working in broadcasting. That's how he got in the door in the first place. So at some point, you know, usually it's the GM runs the show and the coach works for the GM, and the GM gets to hire a couple of coaches before the GM's in trouble. Sometimes the GM gets one coach. Sometimes, like John Idzik with the Jets several years ago, he didn't even get a chance to hire a coach. He got fired with Rex Ryan before he could fire Rex Ryan and hire his own guy. But Shanahan, at some point, I think, before he would be on the hot seat, he gets a chance to go get a new general manager. Because let me tell you, I don't know who the person is in the organization that keeps talking him out of whatever it is that he wants to do with quarterback. Like, he wanted Kirk Cousins, they talked him into Garoppolo. The thinking is he wanted Mac Jones, somebody talked him into Trey Lance. At some point, he's going to have enough ammunition that he can go to Jed York or Parag Marate or someone else and say, look, my instincts are right. Somebody keeps talking me out of what I want to do. We got to make some changes here. So what I want ultimately is what happens, and we don't have people who are trying to talk me into something else, because every time they try to talk me into something else, it ends up not working.
I see, Mike, and that there's a lot of validity to that. That's my problem with Shanahan. If you got the final say, go get your guy. If Trey Lance wasn't your guy, why'd you draft him? But now we keep hearing, Trey Lance can't throw the ball. It's a little bit on Trey, no doubt about it. But it's also on Shanahan. He's our offensive guru, right? That's on Shanahan.
This is a great example of why it's important in every organization to have strong leadership that welcomes dissenting views, but that doesn't yield to them, that can push back instead of saying, okay, fine, you're right. I got nothing to say in response to the argument you made that talked me out of what I wanted to do, even though as time goes by, it's obvious that the boss should have held firm. So, you know, I'd never really thought of it that way, because I do think it's important to have voices in your organization that will push back tactfully against leadership. But leadership has to know when to listen and when to say, thank you for your input, but I'm still going to do what I wanted to do anyway.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike, that was great. Good stuff, Mike.
A lot of great stuff. We really appreciate it.
Good talking to you.